Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the worship service for the second Sunday in Advent, and we begin our service with the singing of our opening hymn, Son of God, Eternal Savior.
Risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we welcome you to the Sunday, December 8th, 2024 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Casey Jones. Our organist is Nancy Gunterman. The opening hymn is number 842, Son of God, Eternal Savior, hymn number 842 in the Lutheran Service Book. Casey and Sharon Jones are sponsoring the radio broadcast today. To the glory of God and thanksgiving for his many blessings. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
If we say we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins unto God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his only Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Shout for joy to God, all the earth.
Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you.
All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name.
Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds towards the children of man.
He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in him.
Who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves.
Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard.
Who has kept our soul among the living and has not let our feet slip.
For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried.
You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs.
You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet you have brought us out to a place of abundance.
Glory be
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Stir up our hearts, O Lord, to make ready the way of your only begotten Son, that by his coming we may be enabled to serve you with pure minds through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading. The Old Testament reading from the book of the prophet Malachi, the third chapter, beginning at the first verse. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come into his temple. And the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver. And they will bring offerings in righteousness to the Lord. Then the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old, as in the former years. Then I will draw near to you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against the adulterers, against those who swear falsely, against those who oppress the hired worker and his wages, the widow, the fatherless, against those who thrust aside the sojourner, and do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review. In regards to the Lord's Prayer, what is the seventh petition?
But deliver us from evil.
What does this mean?
We pray in this petition, in summary, that our Father in heaven would rescue us from every evil of body and soul, possessions and reputation, and finally, when our last hour comes, give us a blessed end, and graciously take us from this valley of sorrow to himself in heaven.
The epistle reading from Philippians, the first chapter, beginning at the second verse. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart. For you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of the region of Eritrea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." He said, therefore, to the crowds that came out to him to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits in keeping with repentance, and do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children for Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the tree, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then shall we do?" And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none, and whoever has food is to do likewise." Tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, "Teacher, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than you are authorized to do." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what shall we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or by false accusation, and be content with your wages." As the people were in expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, "I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod, the tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, added this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the gospel of our Lord, we confess our common Christian faith through the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. At this time, if there's any children who'd like to come forward for the children's message, you're welcome to do so. Everybody. Anderson, good morning. Do you know what this thing is? The whole kit and caboodle, the whole big thing? It's an Advent wreath. All right, it's an Advent wreath. And for the Advent wreath, we count down to Christmas, right? We count down to Christmas. So every week that we light a candle, we're 1 week closer to Christmas. So we have 2 weeks, two candles lit. Then we have the third candle that'll be lit. Then it'll be the week of Christmas. We'll light that on that Sunday, and then the fourth one, and then the white one on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve. We'll light that. So this tells us what? That Jesus is coming. Okay? And when we put that up there, and I got to thinking, okay, well, where can the Advent wreath, where can it go? Right? And I thought, well, what if we put it back in the corner over there? Or one of these two corners behind the candelabras. So I'm gonna turn my left shoulder over here and say, Olivia, can you see that candelabra? You cannot. I'm going to look over here. Bobby, can you see the candelabra over there? No, you can't. So if there's two Bobbies over there, isn't there? I forgot about that. Okay. So they can't see it if it's in the corner. Half can and half can't. Now, I live in the balcony, they can see that. Because they're shooting, looking straight on. Well, I thought, is there anyone's? Well, we could set it on the altar. Everybody could see it there. But it's on that great big stand. And it would be rocking back and forth, and that probably wouldn't be good. So we thought, let's put it right there, right out front where who can see it? You can see it, can't you? Yeah, you can see it from where you were sitting, right, Lily? You can see it. And Caleb, you can see the big Advent wreath with the blue candles and the pine boughs all wrapped around it. You could see it, and Billy could see it, and everybody out there can see it, and everybody can see that it's lit. And this is telling us that Jesus is coming. And as we get closer to Christmas, that is the thing that we want to remember. Now, if we had Jesus coming, but we thought, well, we're going to hide him behind our gifts. Would we be able to see Jesus if we tucked him behind all the gifts under our Christmas tree? No. Would we be able to see Jesus if we put Jesus before or after Santa Claus? No, we wouldn't be able to see Jesus. So we want to see Jesus first. We want Jesus to be front and center of our Christmas celebration. Because what is the reason for Christmas? Whose birthday is it? It's Jesus, the celebration of Jesus' birth. And we're so happy that he was born for us, that he is our Savior, that he is the Savior, not just our Savior and the people here's Savior, but the Savior of everybody in the entire world. That's the message we want to bring to the world. Jesus before everything else. We want to see Jesus first. We want to trust Jesus first. We want to listen to Jesus first. We want to tell the world that the Savior of the world is coming. He will be born for us. He will live a perfect life for us. He will die for us. He will rise for us. All this up front, right where everybody can see it and say, that's what those folks are about. They're about Jesus. And so as we get closer to the day of Christmas coming, we'll light more candles on our Advent wreath. And we'll count down to the time that Jesus comes among us. And when the white candle in the middle is lit, then we will know that, it is that time the Savior of the world has come. Let us pray. Dear God, we pray that you would send us your Holy Spirit so that we might keep Jesus front and center in our lives and in our preaching and in our teaching and in our church and in our school and in all of our homes. Enable us to keep Jesus front and center, and then allow us to follow him to the way, in the way that he leads us to life everlasting. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, kids, thank you for coming down. If you would, go ahead back to your seats with your families, and we will continue with the singing of the next hymn.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 344, On Jordan's Bank the Baptists Cry, hymn number 344 in the Lutheran Service Book.
sermon text this morning from today's gospel reading. Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall become straight, and the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The words of our text. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In an obscure part of the Roman Empire, the far-flung reaches of that great empire, at a very specific time in history, being the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and the members of the Herod family held political sway, a Jewish preacher began to preach. Though Roman sources wouldn't remember him, God had foretold him. 700 years prior to this, the prophet Isaiah had promised him as the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the paths of the Lord." The burden of John's message was to preach of one who stood among the people, one whom they had not yet recognized. John preached Christ. John preached that he who believed on the coming Messiah would have everlasting life. And we still hear that message. And that same Christ still stands among us. We know Christ, and yet we need to know him better and better. And we also need to listen to what it is that John is telling us. For John tells us to repent and have faith in the Messiah. The message of John deals with sin, and sin is humanity's history. You know that, I know that, we're all very well aware of it. Without apology, John lets fly with the ghastly effects of sin. You brood of vipers, wrath to come. The axe is laid at the root of the tree, cast into the fire. What hard things it was for people to hear what John was preaching. Sin and its consequences really are quite horrid. And the reality of sin is quite above dispute. And yet the problem with us all seems to be one of self-justification. Oftentimes we think about other people and they sin, but we do not consider ourselves to be sinners. But the word of God should be striking each and every one of us. You know, we need to repent. We can't walk out of hearing God's word, God's law, and say, "Well, no, I'm fine. That doesn't apply to me." I mean, way too many people, I am sure, do. But John's hearers got the message loud and clear, and many responded with the people asking, "What shall we do?" And the tax collectors asking, "What shall we do?" And the soldiers asking, "What shall we do?" By calling out people's sin in the high mountains of self-righteousness, they were laid low. Right? So that's what we want to look at, that. The mountain that John is speaking of today, let's look at that as people's self-righteousness, their works righteousness, that belief that they can make themselves right with God by their own acts and their own works. And I'm sure that those whose hearts were hardened saw John as a curiosity at best and a rabble-rouser at worst. I mean, we saw that Herod's heart was deliberately closed to the message of John by having John thrown in prison. Oh, yes, we're told that John was fascinated by him and he liked to listen to John, but maybe if John had had more time, if Herod hadn't had him executed, who knows what would have happened in the heart of Herod. But that didn't happen. There were Abraham's descendants, the people felt. Children of Abraham, descendants of the flesh of the great patriarch. They trusted in their family history. They trusted in their works. They trusted in their laws. But there was one thing they didn't have trust in. And one thing they didn't have trust in was God. They did not trust in God. They lost their trust in God and in the righteousness of God. And in the end, they took up works that were all stamped made in hell. Because any work righteousness, any work that says, I can do this and be made right with God, anytime we hear somebody say, yes, I'm going to heaven because I've been a pretty good person. I've done all the right things, or I've tried hard. Made in hell. Right there, that comment. If I ask you the question, are you going to heaven? You answer very clearly, yes, I am. Well, why are you going to heaven? Because Jesus died for me. That's your answer. That's why you're going to heaven. Because your Lord and your Savior, Jesus Christ, lived, died, and rose again for you. It's not on your shoulders. It's on His. And that's an answer made in heaven. Not only, though, must the hills of self-righteousness be made low, but every valley shall be filled in. And what are we going to look at the valleys today? If the hills, the high places, are self-righteousness or works righteousness, what are we going to look to the valleys? And what are we going to say those are? The valleys are the picture of a despairing soul. And that type of person doesn't strut around in their self-righteousness or in their bragging about their own works. Such persons are not merit mongers, and such persons see no righteousness of their own. But what do they begin to think? What do they get caught in? They begin to think of all their wrongdoings, all their sins, and begin to despair that there is no hope for them, that there is no way or path of salvation for them. A feeling of great responsibility washes over them, and with an unstoppable voice, their conscience begins to accuse them, and there's nothing to stop the conscience. His mind can't rid the thought of God's punishment. God threatens it, he says. The soul that sins, it shall die. Sin, guilt, punishment. The soul stuck in the valley stops right there in the valley. Their thoughts constantly revolve around their sins and constantly revolve around the law of God accusing them. And these souls move along the road to the down into the valley of despair. There's no hope for me. I am totally and absolutely lost. And that is where the self-righteous and the despairing meet, on that particular road. Because they meet on common ground. In each case, what is ignored? The righteousness of Christ is ignored. That's what's ignored. The self-righteous person ignores the righteousness of Christ, and the person despairing over their sins ignores the righteousness of Christ. The self-righteous person thinks that their deeds have the strength to pry open the doors of heaven, and the person caught in despair thinks that their despair is slamming shut the doors of heaven. In each case, it is the sin of lacking faith in the work of the Savior. And such unbelief is the venom of vipers and an author of the wrath to come. Yet if we listen to the words of Isaiah and the preaching of John, the high places be brought low, the valleys filled in, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God, something new pops up there. And it's very interesting, very new, right? Well, it's not new, it's old, but right here in this moment it's brand new. The valleys filled in, but all flesh, that is all humanity, shall see the salvation of God. It's not an act of mankind. It is rather instead an act of God. It is not my salvation, but it is God's salvation. The word salvation, what does it automatically imply? The word salvation implies misery, destruction, loss. It implies that we need to be saved and that we cannot save ourselves, for we need a Savior. We need to be saved from something. And God looked down on the children of man and beheld our brokenness and our uncleanness. And in His sight, we were a complete and total loss. And what will He do with that? Will He fling away worthless humanity? It's what we do with objects that are a complete and total loss, right? House fire, complete and total loss. You get a bulldozer out, push it down, right? Car no good anymore, complete and total loss. The insurance company tows it away to the junkyard, complete and total loss. We get rid of it. You look at old clothes, old rags, old stuff around the house, toss it in the garbage. Complete and total loss. Is that what God is going to do with us? Was that what he was going to do when he viewed humanity as an object that was unclean and unable to save itself? Will God fling away worthless humanity? No, he will not. He will not turn his back on people and let them continue on the path to destruction. In the midst of all that is not, the words salvation of God ring out. Not the salvation of me, not the salvation of mankind, but it is the salvation of God. It is a God-work salvation. And there is grace right there in those words. It is the salvation of God. And that grace runs so deep that no human being can ever find the depths and the bottom of that grace. It flows ever and over us and over everything. It is the grace of God that rescues a sinful creation. It is the grace of God that repairs a sinful creation. It is the grace of God that redeems a sinful creation. It is the grace of God that is available to all in the most full measure. John came preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins, people's sins. And there's absolutely nothing more real than people's sins. Every one of our sins breathes out rebellion against God. And God takes the entire enormity of the sin of the world and lays it up against the righteousness of His Son. And the Son of God becomes a man. We see Him all the way from Bethlehem to Calvary. And in that path, we see His fight against sin. And never before has the world witnessed such a battle. And on the cross, the anarchy of sin flung itself at Jesus, flung itself against the Holy One, and completely spent itself. And oh, what relief comes from the cross. God forgives sin. God forgives sin. Notice the boundless scope of the message of John. God forgives sin. And all flesh, all humanity, all people shall see the salvation of God. You are the flesh. You are all flesh. You are in those who shall see the salvation of God. And the words of John speak to my sin. They speak to your sin. They speak to the sin of each and every one of us. Your sin is forgiven. It is blotted out. It is washed away. It is taken away, never to be remembered again by God. Hearken to the words of John. Repent of your sins. Repent of them. And trust Jesus. Trust God for His mercy in the Messiah. There is no disease of the sin-sick soul for which the gospel has no cure. And every valley of your despair shall be filled in. Listen to the message of John telling you that the salvation of God abides with the children of God. The crooked ways shall be made straight. The rough places shall be made smooth. The mountains and the hills shall be brought low. The valleys shall be filled in, and everything shall be leveled out. The message of God has prepared the way. The King of glory has entered into the heart of the sinner. And Christ now lives in the sinner's heart and asserts His divine influence. And the road of the soul is kept in a constant state of repair by God's Holy Spirit. Sinful habits begin to lose their grip upon us. And the thought of doing anything to earn heaven fades out. For self-righteousness does not thrive on the slopes of Calvary. And those in despair give way to a firm trust in the power of the blood of Christ, trusting in the work of the Lord. So as you and I and each and every one of us travel this Advent road, travel closer and closer to Bethlehem and the birth of Jesus Christ, let us rest secure that the road of our soul has been and is continually maintained by our God. And in His name, all God's people say, Amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and your minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Let us now all rise for prayers. Almighty God, as you sent John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord, send forth pastors and missionaries to declare your saving word to the nations. Preserve them from temptation, protect them in suffering, and equip them with every good gift to make known the Christ who still comes to save. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Heavenly Father, as you call and gather us into your family, so bless the households of this congregation. Bless husbands and wives, fathers and mothers, as they go about their work of strengthening marriage and raising children. Let their love abound more and more with knowledge and discernment, and fill their homes with righteousness that comes through Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord of hosts, St. John the Baptist counseled penitent soldiers to go about their military duties according to your word. We ask you now to remember those who served in the armed forces, especially those deployed overseas in countries where there is turmoil. We ask you, O Lord, to protect them from harm, give them wisdom and courage, and grant that they fulfill their duties honorably. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Merciful Lord, your forerunner prepared the way for the one who is mightier than all, your Son, Jesus Christ. For Christ's sake, we entrust to you those in need of healing, those who are in need of comfort and rescue. Especially do we pray for those of our congregation who continue to recover from their surgeries. Have mercy upon them, O Lord. Deliver them according to your will, and strengthen them in faith that they might be assured of your faithfulness. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Holy God, you sent your Son to purify us that we might be righteous and holy before you. Deliver us from the love of sin which defiles us and stains our works. Cleanse our hearts by your grace so that we may delight in your promises and that all our works would be pleasing to you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 217-732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 217-732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Please rise for the singing of the offertory. remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
The closing hymn is hymn number 345. Hark a Thrilling Voice is Sounding, hymn number 345 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. Just a couple notes here this morning. First of all, for junior and senior high youth groups, both youth groups will be meeting today at Zion Lutheran School from 3 to 5 p.m. Please bring a $10 gift card for the gift exchange time. They'll be caroling at Castle Manor in Timber Creek and then head back to ZLS for the gift card exchange and game time. Sunday School Christmas program practice today. Students in grades 2 through 8. Christmas program practice is from 1:30 to 3. And students ages 3 through first grade practice is from 2:30 to 3. The dress rehearsal is Saturday, December 14th at those same times. And then Mrs. Meyer's excellent about getting that information out. So look for her to publish that information also. And youth group members who will be at both of these events may leave the Sunday School Christmas program practice at 2:45 so they can arrive at the school by 3 o'clock. May the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and forevermore. Amen.